Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Just a pause. That's it.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So last week we were discussing Smaranam. So we barely took a sidelong glance at the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the mountain. There's a lot more to Smaranam. Smaranam is a big topic. It's as we saw last week, in the last couple of weeks, Smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura puts it, they're the backbone of the nine processes of devotional service, the life of a devotee, they're the backbone. So understanding those is very, very important. In a sense, when we speak of Smaranam, we're talking about our level of Krishna consciousness. And that level of Krishna consciousness has been brought about by our hearing and chanting. That's what it means, you know, that's Smaranam. It's, you know, what is our, as we go through our day, what is our meditation? What's in our mind? What's in our heart? That's that level of Krishna consciousness, that's Smaranam.
Holy name week.
What's that?
Holy name week.
Holy name week?
Starting today.
Oh, that's good. Where? Here in Melbourne?
Yeah.
All over the universe.
All over the world. Sure.
What are they doing? What's happening?
Various harinams.
Yeah, that's good.
Extra classes.
Yeah, good. So, then, Harinam, it's a good place to start. But, you know, what we've been hearing in the last couple of weeks is that, you know, we can chant all day and night until the cows come home. But if we commit Vaishnava aparads, it will not produce the level, a high level of Krishna consciousness. It, you know, it will significantly hold us back. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada, whenever he says chant Hare Krishna, he generally says, you know, chant nicely, or, you know. And, you know, if there's an inquiry, what is that nice chanting? What is properly? You know, what is sincerely? Then it means basically avoiding apparatus. Still, you know, even if there is apparatus, if we keep chanting, we will come to the, you know, we will, in the long run, taking the long way around, if we commit offences but we still keep chanting, we will get to the goal in the end. But the quick way is actually to, you know, hear and chant properly. Now, let's have a look at the elevated transcendental, you know, meditation of those who hear and chant properly. That's what we'll look at. And although we may have huge congregations of people chanting, you'll probably find that there may not be one or two people in this category. And that may be the same for many decades to come. But for one who chants and hears properly, there's some real nectar. So let's have a look at that. Now, I'm going to read something here from the Venu Gita. And this, of course, is Shivaram Goswami's book, where he you know, collects the valuable gems from the various Vaishnava scriptures and then just puts it in a prose, sort of a free-flowing sort of a statement, but literally you're just taking a bit from all the scriptures, and he's just putting in a very readable format. So none of this is literally his, you know, opinions or what have you. This is just all directly from the scriptures. So when he concludes his Venu Gita by summarizing the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam, he quotes the Padma Purana verse, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, Lord Vishnu should be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. Yeah. He goes on. By hearing of Krishna's pastimes, the heart of a devotee is purified of sinful reaction and he is relieved of material suffering. Such hearing and chanting invoke special mercy from the Lord, who assists in further purification and remembrance. The knot of lust in the heart is severed and one is quickly raised to the transcendental position. In this way, one becomes more qualified to relish the pastimes of the Lord. So an important point is becoming qualified, rising above material attachments, rising above aparads, you know, rising above that position to the transcendental position. That qualifies one to really then relish the transcendental position. That's where Smarana really takes a transcendental, relishable platform. At first, the devotee hears the name and receives the seed of devotion. By careful cultivation, through regular chanting and avoiding the offences to the holy name, a Vaishnava learns to do japa by clearly pronouncing the syllables and words of the Maha Mantra. Then gradually the devotee may delve deeper into the Naam by taking darshan of the Lord while chanting with the eyes and then with the mind. Gradually one will gain steadiness in this process and the form of Krishna will immediately be remembered when the holy name is pronounced. Having this is from Vaina Gita where he summarizes.
Which chapter?
I think it's at the very end. Very end. And so, you know, literally all the principles in the book have been summarized in a couple of paragraphs. So it's real nectar. It's the essence of the whole book. At first, and it's based around Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. So the beauty of Shiva Ram is that, you know, not only is he giving us the pastimes of Krishna to remember them, but in his books he teaches us how to become qualified to do that more and more. At first, a devotee hears the name and receives the seed. Having heard of the many qualities of the Lord, a devotee will recall such attributes while chanting. Having attained such good fortune, one should regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees and carefully avoid all forms of bad association. Gradually, while chanting, both Krishna's rupa and guna will appear in the mind at the mere mention of the name. Then remembrance of the pastimes of Krishna will gradually be invoked while chanting. At the time when revelation of Krishna's Leela occurs, Bhakti Devi, by the mixture of Hridini and Samvit potencies, generally known as Sudasattva, descends upon the devotee and reveals the ingredients of rasa, which leads to full absorption in the ever-continuing pastimes of Sri Krishna, revelation of one's eternal relationship and realization of one's own spiritual form.
So in this paragraph, big jump in one sense.
Yeah.
The platform of mind to the soul.
Yeah.
Sense.
Yeah.
One is the meditation, but not the meditation, then the next Lord is coming.
So I'll read it again, but basically what he's in this here, he summarizes, all that we can derive from Prabhupada's books. He's just sifted through it and collected it into a nice summary. Basically, we chant, and as he says himself, we try and avoid the offenses, material association, bad association. That allows us to chant attentively, pronouncing it and listening. Then, because we're accustomed to chanting the name and remembering the name while we're chanting, because of the purity of our heart, we become qualified to also remember the form of the Lord. We might sit and look at the picture of the deities as we're chanting. And then, we come to the point where if we just chant the name on that platform, we'll remember the form of the deities, we'll remember the form of the Lord. Because while we're chanting and we're nicely associated with devotees without apparat, constantly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're also hearing about Krishna's qualities. Just like in the seventh canto here, we've heard so many nice qualities. Krishna doesn't take the dark side, he just takes the bright side. Like that. So then as you're chanting, you remember that. Yes, we were in Bhakti Bhava, we heard how, the Lord is so kind. He doesn't favour this one or that one. He's favouring everyone at all times. Like that. So you remember his qualities and that comes into your mind. And that, that's a very nice... So you're chanting, you're thinking... So, Krishna's looking at me and he's only seeing the good that I'm doing. Everyone else is, you're Ganga, you're this and Ganga, you're that. And Krishna's thinking... Ganga, I really appreciate what you say. So you think, thank you, Krishna. At least there's one person in this. Like that. So, but it's a very nice, meditation while you're chanting, so you start becoming a little ecstatic. And then, by those qualities, the qualities are connected to the pastimes because, you're chanting and you're remembering, the unlimited nature of Krishna's qualities, his love of his devotees and the devotees' love for him, as Krishna, he became the chariot driver for Arjuna, he's the personality of Godhead, but he became his chariot driver, become his servant, that how much love is there. So then you can, you see that quality of Krishna, it leads into the pastime. So basically from the name comes the form, but, you can't jump. You can't jump. It has to... You become practiced, but you can't get to, you won't get even past, as we've been discussing very strongly, if we can't even remember the name while we're chanting. And that's because, our mind is materially absorbed and we're committing offences and what have you. Therefore, how can we dare, imagine that we're going to be properly meditating on the form and the qualities and the pastimes? That's not possible. We can't even chant the name while hear or remember the name. So, one thing in time, in succession. So then, as he explains this, now what happens then is that at this point, we're chanting and avoiding offences, avoiding material attachments. Very, very nicely, Bhakti Devi becomes pleased with that. Now, there are descriptions that if one is chanting and committing Vaishnava aparad, Bhakti Devi withdraws her mercy. She just holds back. But if one is chanting nicely and meditating on Krishna and comes to this nice point where one is always properly thinking of Krishna in a very loving, devoted way and always chanting and associating with the devotees nicely in a service mood, Bhakti Devi becomes very pleased. And at that point, at that time when revelation of Krishna's lila occurs, Bhakti Devi, by the mixture of Hadini and Sambit potency, generally known as Sudha Sattva, descends upon the devotee and reveals the ingredients of rasa.
That's
yeah. Yeah. And So, you know, here we see one cannot really even properly meditate upon, you know, if one is not chanting properly, or chanting with Vaishnava apparat, one will not go, be able to, you know, become too absorbed in, you know, for very long periods of time anyway, in you know, the guna, you know, the lila of Krishna. And certainly, one can never, you know, enter into, you know, relishing rasa or what have you. You know, that depends upon the mercy of Bhakti Devi. So in other words, chanting Hare Krishna is not a mechanical process. You know? So it's, you know, for instance, if you go to the palace of the queen, it's not a matter of knocking on the door that you'll be let in. It's not a mechanical process. I'm knocking on the door, knock, knock, knock. No. Unless they allow you in, you're not coming in. See? So chanting is like that. You can chant all you like. Knock, Krishna, Krishna, I'm here at the entrance, Krishna. It's all right. You're not coming in. Not yet. Until, you know, things are done properly. So, therefore, again, you know, it's a completely spiritual process. It does, you cannot come from a corporate background and think, because of my corporate intelligence, I will just gradually rise up as a big devotee. That's not going to happen. That's not going to impress Bhakti Devi. You cannot come from a proud background of being a great pundit, a scholar, you know, a Sanskrit scholar, you know, or a very popular, charismatic person, or wealth, giving big donations. None of that will actually, you know, allow you entrance. Bhakti Devi, when she is pleased with you, she will actually descend. A little ray of her mercy enters your heart. We're talking about smaranam. So, and then that sudasattva, or the mixture of hardini and sambit potencies, descends upon the devotee and reveals the ingredients of rasa, which leads to full absorption in the ever continuing pastimes of Sri Krishna, revelation of one's eternal relationship, and realization of one's own spiritual form. And that's smaranam. That is smaranam. When you get to that point, you know, generally when you think of something, you should think of it in its complete proper form. So if you think of, what does it mean to remember Krishna? You think of the Brajavasi. They're remembering Krishna. Am I remembering Krishna? Nothing like it. See? So when you think of bhakti, you think of bhakti in its full form, not in its disjointed, you know, inebriated form. So that's actually smaranam. So then, you know, then we'll question, yes, I'm doing smaranam. Oh, really? What sort of smaranam is that? But this, so one who hears and chants nicely, they will come to this level within this lifetime. So then, you know, then we look at our chanting and we think, okay, all right, I can certainly improve, because I'm struggling to hear Hare Krishna while I'm chanting. And then you've got all these different nice levels like that. And I'm struggling to, you know, hear, and I'm because there's Vaishnava apparat, and especially. Now, so... A bit of paper. Going through all these books, of the Acharyas, and then you've got the nice summaries by these devotees, which is very helpful. I did pen down, a progressive, I connected all the stages of bhakti with the various levels that you hear about. And I want to speak a little bit more about that. Last week we heard about Shravana Das, Varana Das, Smarana Vasta. We had Anusmriti and Samadhi. We'll have a look at that again, just make sure we have a proper understanding. Now, generally, just a little summary from my notes first. So we were talking about Shravanam has five different levels. There was Smarana, Dharana, Jhana, Dhruvanusmriti, or sometimes called Anusmriti, and Samadhi. Yeah? As a summary, Smarana was occasional flashes or moments of remembrance of the Lord, even his Leela, but there's constant material interruption. That's me. What's that? The five elements of Smaranam, which Prabhupada mentioned in his purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam.
23-24 verse, that one?
Yeah, still doing that verse, yeah. Yeah, so it's still, he mentions them as, where is it? Yeah, that's right. So those five, right, and I'm just putting Sanskrit names to them. But the first one, Smaranam. There's Smaranam, Dharanam, Jhana, Anusmriti, and Samadhi. First one, occasional flashes or moments of remembrance of the Lord. There's constant interruption. The second one, Dharana. There's a general meditation.
Withdrawing from external senses.
Yeah, and withdrawing from the external senses. There's Jhana, one can fix the mind on specific leelas, and forms, and there's not much interruption there.
So that's Jhana.
Yeah. Anusmriti. Anusmriti is really when... Now, Smarana is usually connected with the Shraddha stage. And... Yeah.
Is it same with
Dhruvanusmriti? Dhruvanusmriti is the fourth one. We'll get to there. Just backtracking a bit, but we talked about Smarana, Jhana, and Jhana.
Yes.
And, the Smarana is connected with the Shraddha. The new devotees with a little bit of faith. How do you expect that? And this is what I'm saying. If you actually understand the philosophy, you can know a person... And you know everything about them without even shaking their hands or saying anything, because you understand that they just can't jump. You can't jump. It's not like in the material world you can hide things and jump and do so many things, because it all falls apart in the end. But you can't hide things from actually a devotee who understands the philosophy. Smarana. The Shraddha. Now, Sadhu Sangha and... Anishta Bhajan. They sort of, either coming into wanting to take initiation, they've just taken initiation. There's Dharana. Jhana. Nishta. They're a bit fixed up. They might be taking Brahman, steady preachers, steady service. Jhana, Ruchi, like that, the higher level of Jhana. Now, Anusmriti is Shakti. Now, that person has offenseless hearing and chanting. Again, I find it really interesting when we speak about offences in chanting and devotees ask questions like, is it really such a big issue? But literally the definitions of what is prema bhakti or the preceding platforms depend upon specifically one's offenseless in chanting. So yes, it does. You know, to not see that connection, to sort of think, oh, look, I'm doing so much service, but I'm committing offences. What's the big deal? Oh, it'll get purified. That's fine, but it means that you're stuck on a certain level, and you're not definitely not on a higher level, no matter what sign is on your poster, but your T-shirt. People have tickets on themselves, and you just can't get to that next level. So it is an integral part of chanting. You know, so Prabhupada, you know, if he discusses about Harinam, you know, chanting or hearing, he always qualifies it. You know, properly means sufficiently and, you know, from the right persons and, you know, without offences and so many things like that, not pretentiously. So when you get to this Anushmiti, this is a platform of a Shakti. A person is actually, they're doing offenseless hearing and chanting. What does that mean? That person only has the Krishna consciousness on this level is that they are uninterrupted in blissful meditation. It's very deep and profound. Daily, all day. Others can't have that. If they're committing, you know, they can make a show for 5 minutes, you know, sit in the asana and, you know, everyone thinks it's wonderful. And as soon as they walk out of the class, they're back to, you know, where they are, smarana. Number one. Samadhi. Samadhi is spiritual trance. And it's at this point, of course, where, you know, Radharani, the Halidini Shakti, has descended within the devotee's heart. Without that, one doesn't attain this platform. Krishna is the object of meditation, automatic remembrance by the spiritual chit potency. It's a very mature stage of Anushmiti. The Lord immediately appears in meditation more and more often. So, you know, on the platform of sadhana bhakti up to a shakti, a devotee is, you know, by their sadhana, by their spiritual practices, driving away material energy, avoiding, you know, bad conduct, and always, you know, chanting and associating and hearing and doing everything nicely. And by that strength, they get this deep and profound meditation. But at a point, Radharani comes very pleased with that devotee and she descends within their heart. And by the potency of the spiritual shakti, the spiritual energy will not allow them to forget Krishna for a moment. It's automatic, it's blissful. And you know, you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think he said he started on this platform. I think he said he started on that platform, you know, or very quickly he came to that platform, you know, from, you know, sort of started, almost appeared externally to be like it's like externally it sort of appeared to be a neophyte, but pretty much he just goes straight to, you know, this samadhi. And then, of course, you know, what happens is on Prema Bhakti, see, that samadhi is Bhava Bhakti. It can be the very beginning of it, you know, and then, you know, mature stage of Bhava Bhakti, sometimes also called Rati, and then mature samadhi, Prema Bhakti, pure devotional service. In that state, there are exchanges with the Lord which are personal and direct. So, now, in the Upadasamrita, there is a nice quote by Bhaktisiddhanta. I'll read it to you. And he describes there five different stages. This is in text number 7. And these five different stages can be connected with these other stages that we've spoken about, which I'll do as we go through it. Right? Now, from Upadesha Amrita, text number 7, there's a quote by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Das, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called Varana Das. So you see that hearing is one thing, acceptance is a higher stage, is it? And so basically that Shravana Das is consistent with the level of Smarana, that first stage of remembrance. Varana Das, or acceptance, is consistent with Dharana, the second stage of remembrance, that level of devotional service. Hare Krishna. Now, when one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. One is very attached to it. And when one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavashta, the stage of remembering. So you see where remembrance really kicks in on a stage where you can actually say, well, this devotee is actually, he's doing, you know, he's done Shravana Kirti, he's now also following Smarana, you know. Before that, it's like heading towards there, but you're not quite there. And this Smaranavashta, right, is past the jhana stage, we said. So we got, you know, remember we had Smaranam, Dharanam, and then jhana, which is, and really a devotee, you know, this is put at ruchi, right? So jhana was at nishta, so this Smaranam is at ruchi. See? So, and there's a real taste and attachment to hearing and chanting. Have a look around the room, see who's here, see who's not. See the different, who comes each week, who doesn't. I know I'm always here. But anyway. So longer meditation, hardly interrupted externally, it's a higher level of jhana. And then recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the 5 items of progressive Krishna Smarana. All right, so we're on this third level, which is close to the third level of Smarana. And here, what he's done, he's broken the next 2 stages of Smarana into 5 different types of Smarana. So in our, we've done Smarana, Dharana, Jhana, and we're going to do Anusmriti and Samadhi, right? So these are consistent with what's in the Bhagavatam in the purport, in Prabhupada's purport, right? And then we've heard there are 5 levels that coincide with that, and we've come to the third one where it's properly Smarana, and then that in itself is broken down to 5 stages, which brings us to the next 2 levels, which coincides with the next 2 levels of Smarana. Understand? So what are they? It says, at first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated. It is called meditation. When meditation expands, it becomes constant. It's called Anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. After smarana dasa or samadhi has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That is called sampatti dasa, the perfection of life. So, here, associated with smarana is literally levels of spiritual perfection. So when one is remembering the Lord properly, they are associated with levels of spiritual perfection. And from smarana, when it's done, you know, basically from the interrupted stage to the, you know, anusmriti, which is, uninterrupted, offenseless, hearing and chanting. Just after that, and then one comes to samadhi. So that fifth stage of remembrance, which is this uninterrupted spiritual trance of ecstasy, then one achieves the perfection of apanadas. It says here that the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. That's going to go in my book, but you won't find this very. That's worth its weight in gold. That one. That's 40 years of study on one page. The essence. That's what I do in my spare time. It's called smarana. But yeah, I'll do something for you. Just because I give you this, you may not understand it anyway. But look, you know, I'm giving a lot here, and it'd be hard to follow. But we're going to read a few quotes and sort of clarify it. In general. The last two stages of remembrance is called anusmriti and samadhi. Samadhi is, full uninterrupted spiritual trance, by the grace of the spiritual chit potency. And anusmriti is very deep meditation of devotees, still on the platform of sadhana bhakti. It's deep and as profound as you can get on that sadhana bhakti. And on the raga platform, bhava bhakti and the spiritual energy is literally empowering your remembrance, and that is samadhi. Right? So with those two stages are also the last two stages of spiritual perfection. And that is called, apanadas, one generally understands one's an eternal servant of the Lord, and then sampatti das, one actually understands who one is in the spiritual world and what one's devotional service. So they come with those stages like that. So whereas samadhi is on the platform of bhava with apanadas, that means on the platform of bhava one can generally, understand in a general vague terms one's eternal relationship with Krishna and feel Krishna's presence and reciprocate with him. Is there something scratching? Is there a cat under the table? Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it might go onto the tape as well. So on the platform of samadhi, bhava bhakti, a devotee is reciprocating with Krishna. It's not as clear as, the final realizations, but one feels the presence. Is it still going? One feels the presence of Krishna and feels great ecstasy and is just always in an uninterrupted, deep, ecstatic meditation. Very specific meditations, and that's called apanadas. It's a little general. It's literally self-realization. One has come to the spiritual platform. But Sampatti is really entrance into Krishna's lila. You really, oh yes, I'm a peacock, I'm a gopi, I'm whatever like that. And you're literally getting some nice, so that's prema bhakti. Yeah. So that's, there's some party dust where one actually enters, so much understands their spiritual personality that they literally can interact in the Lord's pastimes. That is called Sampatti Das. Right? And, yeah, that is a very mature stage of.
This is before, we mentioned the five stages.
Yeah.
Starting from this recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance.
Yeah.
So the recollection is in the stage of nishtha.
Yeah. See, in that smarana.
Yeah.
Yes. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted, and yes, it does refer to that. Nishtha, that Shraddha stage, the beginning of the devotee's life, and then it becomes more
conscious. The recollection is from the non-Nishtha, you're saying?
Even before Nishtha, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's interrupted, mm-hmm. in intervals, later becomes interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes concentrated meditation, and then uninterrupted, which is under Smriti. So, this smarana properly is on the Ruchi platform, and those who are practicing that on the neophyte, are sort of very much a neophyte on that. We had Shravana Das, Varana Das, Smarana Vasta. So basically, as the hearing and chanting and the remembrance is very interrupted, they're very neophyte parts of this Smarana Vasta. So they have their own names, Shravanam Das and Varana Das, hearing, chanting, hearing and accepting, So that hearing, your hearing means there's some smarana going on, you're accepting, that's smaranam going on. But when it's matured, then it's properly smarana vasta. So it's like subheadings of the same thing, but they have their own names. But it is part of that process of remembering. It's not part of something else. So, one comes to Smarana Vasta means, you've properly mastered it and you've come to that stage, and that means that you've got Smarana, Dharana and Jhana under your belt. The next stage will be Anusmriti, which is on the platform of a Shakti. All right, so that is a mature stage of Smarana Vasta. And then we come to Apana Das, which is coincides with the Bhava Samadhi stage. And then the mature Samadhi is called Sampati Das or Prema Bhakti. Right, so what we're doing here is we're linking this verse in Upadeshamrita with the five stages that we've heard here in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Smarana. Huh? So, you may not fully comprehend it all today, but know that that link is there, and meditate upon it. Yeah.
So from the look of it, looks like recollection, that is in the stage of absorption in Nishtha, and proper meditation in Ruchi, and constant remembrance in Asakti, and trance.
He's got Smarana Vasta, recollection, absorption, meditation, that's right, constant remembrance, and then, like that. So, they are that, you know, they're sort of neophyte versions of that third stage, what is called smarana. You know, so it's like someone with a learner's license. You know, a learner driver is not really concentrating on the road, and therefore you've really got someone sitting beside them, you know, ready to grab the wheel, put the brakes on, you know, they're giving directions and so many things like that. But actually you can say that that learner is driving, aren't they? They're actually in a car, they've got their hands on the wheel, they're driving, but really the person in control of it is someone else. Right? So smarana is like that. You can say those neophyte stages is smarana, but really it's not quite, you know, they can't do it independently properly. So there's, you know, those different levels of it. And when that, smarana, you know, comes to a very mature stage, you know, like the anusmriti and samadhi, then at that stage, the proper beginning of self-realization is there. And of course, you know, the nice thing here also is that if you want to, these are also connected to the Shishastakam, and so that Apanadas, Samadhi, is connected with Shishastakam 6. I won't go into that, but that's another topic. But all these different levels are also connected with the Shishastakam as well. So when you get to Samadhi, which is the full manifestation of remembrance, and then there's Apanadas, which is the fourth stage of spiritual advancement, where you have there's a assimilation and application of the spiritual teachings. You've properly, bhava means you really assimilate it. It's just, you know, the realizations are there and you're applying it. Sarup Siddhi, you know, begins to manifest more and more.
Is that in Samadhi?
In other words, a devotee at that stage is not identifying with their body. Very slightly. There's a very slight identification of the body for the sake of it. But really they understand, I have a spiritual identity. I can't quite focus it. But that's, they're identifying with that body, but I can't quite focus it. But they're no longer identifying with the material body. See? So that is called Apanadas. And that is the, you know, what is that sixth verse? Somehow or another fall into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. That is rati. That is this stage. That, you know, I don't belong in this material world. I have no identification with this world at all. Not this world, not this body. I'm a little spiritual soul. I don't know my form, but I know I'm a little spiritual atom somewhere. Just put me at your lotus feet. Everything else will be revealed later. That is this stage. So all these different... That is samadhi. Yeah, it is the fifth stage of remembrance. And it is the fourth stage of spiritual perfection.
It is
Swarup Siddhi, but what they call Vastu Siddhi is connected with Sampatidas. That is, you know, where you actually, you know, entrance into the Leela and association of the Lord, you know, due to spiritual body, you know. There's not even a tinge of contact with the material body. You just don't identify with that. Or Mbaba, there's still a tinge, but Prema, there's not. And the exchange of the Lord are personal and direct on that platform.
But in Swarup Siddhi, but you have a brief idea about your spiritual form, is it? right?
Yeah, you do.
You've realized, or partially, maybe. Or is it vastusiddhi or not?
There are some, you know, intermittent. What it describes is that, you know, more and more things are revealed. So, you know, from understanding generally I'm a spirit soul, to you get to have a particular mood, you know, you know, there may be just some little connecting factors that, you know, just very vaguely, you know, indicate, you know, the relationship. A lot of it's, you know, again, very intimately connected with the relationship with the spiritual master as well, because, you know, for instance, when you have, you know, sometimes to understand, you know, who we are, we, you know, on a material sense, we try and understand, you know, well, what is my relationship in the family, or, you know, what is my relationship in the spiritual society, you know, or like that. So it helps, you know, to connect, you know, your identity. Our identity is in relationship with Krishna and his devotees. That's how we understand who we are. Not just, it just comes to us without any connection with Krishna. So it's sort of the connection with the guru is our closest connection with Krishna, and therefore sometimes it is through, you know, well, all the time, but through the guru, you know, gradually as his relationship with Krishna is manifest to him and sometimes to the disciples, then sometimes that helps to, you know, the disciples to connect their relationship to the guru, to Krishna, like that. They're a little glimpse, you know, the different ways that things, you know, sort of become understood. You know, as Prabhupada said, you know, we'll have our ISKCON in the spiritual sky. You know, it means, you know, there's a spiritual relationship. It said, you know, in the scriptures, it says that a family who circumambulates Govardhan together, then in the spiritual world, they're together as well. They say Krishna together. So, you know, there are some. So, you know, there are certain. You know, there are very vague connections, but gradually, by the grace of Radharani, it becomes quite specific. Where, you know, Krishna, you know, through different ways, Krishna reveals that. Yeah.
You know, the picture of the sage in Bhagavad Gita who's actually meditating and he's cooking sweet rice for the Lord and he puts his finger.
Yeah.
What stage would he be at in the remembrance?
I would say Apanadas, in the sense that he's not necessarily doing it. In what may be his spiritual form from Goloka Vrindavan, but in the form that he's associated with here as a devotee. So, you know, which tends to be more, you know, whereas, you know, if one is serving Krishna, but in that service they're identifying with their eternal spiritual form, that would be more Vastusiddhi. I mean, it, you know, they may do both, but just, you know, like we have Narottam Das Thakur and you know, Srinivas Acharya, different personalities who, at different occasions, you know, entered into the pastimes of the Lord, you know, in a spiritual form, as more, you know, rather than in the form they're associated with as a devotee in this world, which is more up and down.
It is samadhi. Krishna takes him back to
God. That is samadhi. So basically, samadhi is connected with on the same level as apanadas. Right? But the perfection, the ultimate perfection of samadhi, that is prema, and that is sampatidas. So, you know, I just want to make sure at least once you hear, you know, we don't skip over, you know, you don't the nectar that's really there in Prabhupada's purport, you know. So the tendency is that because as devotees, we really don't know fully what the full scale of, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam is. So sometimes something that can be a slight resemblance of that seems to be really wonderful to us, you know, either in ourselves, you know, or in others. It's good to at least understand, as Prabhupada does in the Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, allow us to understand that, okay, get the big picture so that, you know, you can put yourself in. So if you read the Upadeshamrita, text number 7, which is for neophytes, you'll understand that, okay, I don't think I'm hearing and chanting in such a way that, I can perfectly and clearly understand my eternal relationship with Krishna, you know, that's a spiritual form. So, you know, I'm not on that platform, and I don't think, in fact, let's go back to number one, hearing. Am I even, as my point, you know, a couple of weeks ago, am I even hearing properly? You know, devotees, we like to prance around, like, you know, with their fancy chatters and, you know, what have you. You know, big devotees, you know, a lot of big devotees are not even hearing properly, and so
what is a big
that can be a problem.
Well, who's a big devotee?
Who's a big devotee? Well, a real big devotee, big devotee is Prabhupada.
100 kilos.
No, practically at all levels, practically, Prabhupada is totally out of the
calculation.
Yeah. Yeah. If you see a devotee who does not commit Vaishnava aparad and they're constantly hearing and chanting nicely with every devotee, that's a big devotee. If you see a devotee who just relishes hearing and chanting, and they do that nicely with every devotee, and they never commit Vaishnava aparad, then that's a big devotee. If someone in the name of serving Krishna can justify any aparad, that's not a big devotee. And it means that they're not even hearing properly, because, you know, they haven't, you know, after so many years, you know, have they actually accepted what they're hearing from the books? It's sort of going back and forth between Bhavana Das, acceptance and not acceptance, and Smarana Vashta, where one, you know, is able to sometimes, you know, enter into some, you know, nice remembrances, what have you. But samadhi, you know, no. You know, so in the Shishastikam, you know, a huge majority of devotees probably wouldn't have the realization up to the 6th verse of Shishastikam. The 7th and 8th, you know, they're just not in their jurisdiction. They can speak about those so many things. It doesn't mean that, you know, that realization is there. Just because a devotee is, you know, speaking, I mean, I'm speaking about things because I'm just trying to convey knowledge, doesn't mean I have, you know, realization about so many things here. But, sometimes, you know, the misunderstanding that if someone can quote these things, then that person must, you know, be on that level. But here it's not just being able to quote these things, talk about them, as I'm doing in a very superficial way. It's a matter of being able to assimilate and, what's the word? Assimilate and application. That is up in the dust, that is samadhi. When there's full assimilation of what we're studying, you know, when people go to Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam classes, they're reading books at home, they're hearing lectures, when they actually assimilate that to the point where they're fully practicing what they've heard and fully realized, then that person can be, you know, into very deep, you know, samadhi. You know, basically, as they go through each and every day, they're in a constant state of absorption in Krishna in a very blissful way. And their identity with the body is very slight, it's hardly there. Their identification, you know, as the servant of Krishna is there fully, but the specifics of it, they you know, that hasn't come. And, you know, on that platform, though, when the offences diminish and the quality of the hearing and chanting increases, Radharani and Bhakti Dev then bestow the mercy, but not until then. That Bhakti Dev will, you know, it's mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani. She will withhold her blessings. She may allow one to chant and serve and do many things, but she will hold her blessings and will not allow a person to fully enter into that, you know, samadhi. And then more and more, you know, as years go by, a devotee is actually getting little glimpses of, you know, their, you know, spiritual nature. So, you know, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? That, you know, how we mark our advancement. See, that's why it's important to hear this, because how do we mark our advancement? Oh, where am I here? You know, am I Smarana? You know, am I Varana? Am I, you know, is Apanadas? You know, or, you know, are we thinking in this way? How well known is the service I'm doing? You know, who is hearing about it? And, you know, what position have I gained? And you know, what importance do I have in the community? And, how much, you know, control do I have? How much facility do I enjoy? Whatever. It's a whole different level of advance, which I would tell you that 99% of the devotees follow that path. And probably haven't even read this, you know. It is advancement based upon feeling important.
No, but feeling important and feeling accepted, it's like if you want to just be accepted instead of feeling being important, then...
Well, you can have that, or you can have, you know, sampati das. I would swap a million important, you know, things for a little bit of sampati das. A little glimpse into my spiritual... I would give everything. I would give everything in the universe for that. What is that? What would you trade for that? Raghunath Das says that it had less value than pig stool. Because, you know, fame, importance, because, you know, stool is not very valuable, but even a pig will, you know, eat others. But a pig won't eat pig stool. No one eats pig stool. So it's about as low as you can get on the value scale. So he says that fame, that sense of importance, that's on that scale. And you know, these levels of... To be able to hear and chant and remember, if you can do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, there's the value of being a devotee. That's the value. That's how you mark, oh boy, I'm getting so much out of Krishna consciousness. I'm getting so much from ISKCON. so much value, so much treasure. What is that? Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, properly. I never even knew that size, now I'm doing it. That's so much. So, so, yeah. Let's. So again, really, just to properly understand this one subject, because there's no use jumping backwards and forward, because you know this section of the Bhagavatam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaran, is the essence. It is, you know, really what we're after. Now, in Madhurya Kadambini, chapter 8, a little further explanation here, that, you know, and this is where, you know, it helps, you know, there's some of my notes, basically, where I've, you know, just connected everything. But, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes there the stage of Bhajana Kriya, meditation. The Lord is mixed with other topics and is temporary. So, again, we're discussing the levels of devotional service. We're discussing smarana. And smarana, really, the basis of smarana is hearing and chanting, isn't it? So, you know, at Bhajana Kriya, so someone's taking initiation, just taking initiation, that level of meditation or smarana, the topics that they talk about, they're mixed with other, the Krishna conscious topics are mixed with other non-Krishna topics, and, you know, it's a bit temporary like that. Now, at Nishta, there's a trace of other topics, just a trace. Mostly the hearing chanting is nice about Krishna. At Ruchi, other topics are absent and the meditation is long-lasting. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. At a Shakti meditation, it becomes deep. And during Baba, with meditation, the Lord appears in the mind. That's samadhi or trance. Achieving prema along with the appearance of the Lord in the mind, there is also direct association with the Lord. So, you know, this, I was travelling with Alalanath Prabhu in Christchurch. We were doing Padayatra. And sometimes, you know, different devotees would jump in the car and we would drive to the next destination, you know, a couple hundred miles or 100 miles or something. And so sometimes I had Ramaya Swami, sometimes I had Lalana, something, you know, so, and you'd have a chat with him for a couple of hours. So I was sitting with Lalana, his Prabhupada disciple, Lalana, his Prabhupada disciple, and he was temple president of Christchurch for many, many years. He lives up in Mawulumbah now. You see him, he looks after the Sunday feast sometimes. Nice devotee. But anyway, we're having a chat, we're chatting about different things, and then he turned to me at one stage, he said, "Ganga, you've got this ability that every time I say something, you turn it back to Krishna." And, you know, I've never forgotten that, because, you know, it was a really strange thing to say, because I thought, but doesn't every devotee do that, you know? And it sort of, you know, it struck me from, so here's the temple president, the Prabhupada disciple, that he's obviously not experiencing that. You know, he's talking with a lot of devotees over many, many years, and he thought it was uncommon what I was doing. That's what struck me. every time he'd say something, he'd bring up, he started doing, some real estate and, this, and he'd bring up. Every time he'd, it kept reminding me of things in the Bhagavatam. And I'd say, oh, yeah, there's that thing. But, it just struck me that I was really surprised. If he had said to me, that how come you don't, bring everything back to Krishna? I thought, well, in your experience, that's what you'd be experiencing every day, So anyway, I used to find that with meetings as well. Sometimes different meetings that you go to as a devotee, and a lot of times, there'd be something, and I'd think, oh, it's nice, great, that Chaitanya down real, and I'd be really excited. I'd sort of, grab the book because I'd sort of slip out, and I always had some books handy somewhere. I'd come in with it, and I'd say, oh, there's a nice quote about, we're talking about this. No one was interested. They didn't want to hear the quote. It was very common. Sometimes we had, I went to like teachers' parents' meetings at the Gurukul in New Zealand, and they'd be talking about how to deal with the kids and the parents and this and that. And I'd say, well, Prabhupada says an exact thing about that. Didn't want to hear it. Not admissible. Not even admissible in the meeting. So, and then I think, well, where's the Shravanam Kirtanam Smarani? Sometimes it's just really not there. And these are on the level of quite often very senior devotees. I hope no one here becomes, a very senior devotee where literally is part of, it's almost becomes normalised where Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam are literally put aside when you're doing something else. Where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's the backbone of our devotional service. In other words, quite often a devotee sees that because we're serving, this will bring about a nice situation of Shravan and kids and a smile. That's how devotee sees it. We're going out in Sankirtan, so it'll give us something that we'll talk about, different pastimes and different things like that. Or we're renovating the temple, we're Gundicha, we're cleaning the temple. So this will, all day long we'll meditate on these different paths. We can tell this devotee I was reading about that. But if it doesn't happen, then, where's the taste? The idea is the service is almost like a catalyst for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. When the Smaranam, the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam is somehow in the way of what we're doing, that's a problem. I asked you a question the other day. I saw that look on your face. What did I ask you?
I was clearing, what are you thinking of Bhagavatam?
Yeah, when you were cleaning the floor, I thought, what were you thinking of, And what did you say?
I wanted the floor to come out the best.
You're just thinking of the floor.
On that, how to understand that there's a pastor with Kamal Krishna Maharaj is telling Prabhupada that the jewel land dealing is happening with. He's complaining to Prabhupada that I know more law courts than Bhagavad Gita verses because that's what I'm doing whole day.
Yeah.
And I can't read, can't remember Bhagavad Gita, but I'm just remembering the laws.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says, just give this one life to Krishna.
Yeah.
Whatever is remaining, Lord Chaitanya will fulfill. So,
well, I know Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and believe me, you wouldn't be in his presence for more than, even when he's doing all of that, his hearing and chanting, I mean, he was, his life was the Srimad Bhagavatam. He, he did a professorship, in the universities on the Prabhupada. That's his humility, for him, that's his separation. That, Krishna in the form, Krishna is there in Shravanam Kirtanam. He's, for a few a few moments, you know, his attention is diverted to the service, you know, he's got to do it properly, what have you, and he's thinking, you know, the books are over there, I'm over here, you know. It's like, that's his intense separation from the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam manifesting. And because of that separation, it was, you know, he took every opportunity was there. You know, so much, he crammed so much Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting in his life, plus he did all that service like that. So, you know, don't ever think that Tamal Krishna Maharaj somehow put the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam aside and just had his head in the books. As you read, there's so many leelas, you know, you read his books, he wasn't doing that at all. He was constantly, you know, and if you talk Pajalpa in the presence of Tamal Krishna for 2 seconds, you get his dunder on your head. You know, so much separation from you know, the process of, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Okay, you know, he may, you know, have to put that aside, do some, you know, other things for management and what have you, but, you know, the first opportunity is in it there. But if someone takes the, you know, that view, oh, you know, I don't see you, you know, hearing and chanting Tamal Krishna, you know, I'll do a little bit of a job on the side, you'll get, you know, this swift chastisement from Maharaj, because it's not acceptable, not from not in his association. So, you know, don't take the wrong, I don't know, is someone quoting that in the wrong way? Is that, no?
Yeah.
Huh?
Many times we have heard with that.
Then you should, then you then.
For like service.
Yeah. No, I know that quote.
Yeah.
But in our movement, there has been no one more dedicated to hearing and chanting and you know, remembering Krishna and Prabhupada than Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So he did that, but even with all the management he was doing, he would outshine practically every devotee in the movement in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So intense was he in that process. So don't, you know, you can't use him as an example, that quote. It's like saying, you know, Prabhupada, you know, he was, it's like saying that, oh, well, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada, you know, was, you know, thinking about other different things because, you know, and he sort of, there was no one in this movement more accomplished than Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam than Prabhupada. But he also had to, for management and different things, deal with the bricks and the mortar and things like that. But you can't use that as an excuse to, you know, because we don't really have a taste for that, that, okay, well, that justifies what I'm doing and I don't really care anyway. I'm quite happy to think about bricks and mortar all day. So that's misquoting, you know, and that's misquoting that out of context. So you know, there, so what we see is that actually a devotee who has attachment to Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, that they will do that above everyone. You know, and nicely, without offences, you know, in a nice way, with so many, in a very relishable way, so many devotees, and all the management staff and everything like that, they'll do that as well. Better and more than the other devotees are not even hearing and chanting. And who'll put the hearing and chanting aside to do that, they'll do it better. See, that's Vaishnava. That's what Tamal Krishna Maharaj was doing. He was doing more management, more of that other stuff, and more Shravanam Kirtanam than anyone else, and doing both better than the people who put aside the Shravanam Kirtanam. That's the proper understanding. You know. So, yeah. Now, again, let's just, you know, in the Manishik, so we read a little bit there from the Manishik, so just to help, we're trying to understand just really this stage of Smaranam mentioned in Prabhupada's purport. We read a little bit there from Madhyakadambini, chapter 8. There's a little bit extra here in, you know, Manishiksha, verse 11, the purport. And Srila Jiva Goswami delineates meditation or jhana in this manner. So this is from his Bhakti Sandarbha. Smaranam, or remembrance, means to search with the mind. Nice definition. One must follow the step-by-step process, remembering first the name, then the form, qualities, etc. Then one easily advances spiritually and remembers everything pertaining to the Lord, like his qualities, associates, paraphernalia, and finally his pastimes. Right? So ultimately, you know, in our remembrance, we want in this lifetime, not 100 lifetimes in the future, to, as we go through the day, each and every day, all day, we're remembering Krishna's pastimes. And we're seeing how the pastimes we're remembering are associated with the service we're doing. And what that leads to is that the service we're doing connects us to those pastimes, and gradually you enter into them. So we're connecting our service, not as a way of putting aside Shravana and Smaranam, but the service that we're doing is relevant to the, you know, it sort of incites certain types of remembrance. Just like, you know, you're on Sankirtan, you're going into a dangerous place. You know, you remember, you know, Krishna, the cowherd boys, they saw Agasura demon, big demon opens up to swallow them up. Sometimes the Sankirtan devotees, they used to think, you know, we're going into the city, it's like the mouth of Maya, she's going to swallow us up, you know. And then they think, you know, just like the cowherd boys, ah, Krishna will save us, straight in, like that. See? So the service you're doing is, you know, incites, embellishes a particular type of meditation on particular type of pastimes, and we want that every day, at all times we're serving Krishna, and at all times we're meditating on Krishna's lila, and it's just, it's a very natural. Gradually that process leads to, literally, you identify with Krishna, his, because what happens is then, when, you know, those Sankirtan devotees racing into the city, they see that Krishna actually saves them that day from Maya. And they come home victorious, you know, and sit around. You know, Krishna did this. I went in here and this happened. And they tell the Sankirtan, and it was just Krishna's grace that this happened, you know. It's just, you know, had it been 1 second later, what have you. So gradually, it's a way, through the Sankirtan movement, you enter into the pastimes of Krishna. And it's the particular, you know, gradually you, it's through that that you get, start getting vague understandings of your spiritual nature, because, and the spiritual nature of others, because they have different, you know, roles. You know, so certain things, you know, in a very vague way come out like that. So, and then, you know, our goal is to always be remembering the Leelas and connecting them with our service. And gradually, by the grace of Srimati Radharani, she actually gives the final help, where she will reveal within your heart, one has the full mercy of the Guru. Guru doesn't just mean you're initiating Guru. Guru means that, you know, the Vaishnavas, the significant Vaishnavas in your life. That's Guru. And when they're all pleased, and Radharani, you know, allows full realization of one's spiritual identity, and day by day on the Bhava platform, you know, one should be more and more just getting more clarity, more clarity, more clarity, and then gradually, you know, there is full realization. But it's not like everything may come in just one big hit. actually every day you go out, you just sort of, you know, little glimpses and get a little closer. If that's not happening at all in any sense, shape or form, then what sort of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam are we doing? And are we satisfied with that? Is that the goal of our life? And if we feel we're making, you know, spiritual progress, how are we monitoring that, you know, by other things that are not even here in the Bhagavatam? You know, what is that? That sense of, you know, self-importance or whatever. So in this same Manushiksha, you know, he continues this paragraph that, again, he says, a little search with the mind for the Lord's name, form, etc. is called smaranam, recollection. The second one, to withdraw the mind completely from the external phenomena and to slightly direct it towards and delve on the Lord is called dharana, absorption. Three, to fix the mind in thoughts of a specific form, pastime, etc. of the Lord is known as jhana, meditation. Four, when jhana becomes uninterrupted and gives excessive bliss, it is known as dhruva anusmriti, constant remembrance. Excessive bliss. And five, when the only object of deep meditation is spontaneously manifest in the totality of the mind, it is called samadhi. A nice definition. Okay, let's go a little deeper on the same thing. This is from Harinam Chintamani. And this is chapter 15. Because I'm not putting all this in the test. I just, you know, we're preparing ourselves to hear 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to have a little, you know, glimpse of what it means to us to be hearing that, you know. What are our qualifications to hear it, and what is how we can be best qualified to take advantage of that. Not just that we, you know, at the end we may or may not get a certificate, but literally we make this advancement. So I'll read this from the Harinam Chintamani. The order of discipline or sadhanakrama is as follows. The introspective devotee must at first discard all... We're down the bottom of my bags. No, that's right. That's on me. The order of discipline or sadhanakrama is as follows. The introspective devotee must at first discard all the 10 offences and simply meditate on the holy name, trying to chant constantly. So that's the beginning platform. Discarding the 10 offences. That's until one does that, we might as well not read on anymore. Because it's all dependent upon that. He should distinctly pronounce the holy name and meditate upon the transcendental sound vibration. When his chanting is clear, steady, and blissful, he should try and meditate on the Shamasundara form of the Lord. With chanting beads in hand, his chanting and meditation should seek out the transcendental form of the holy name. He will indeed see with spiritual vision the real meaning the name represents. Another method he may employ to see this form is to sit in front of the deities, drink the beautiful form of the Lord with his eyes, and meditate upon the holy name. Even after reaching the stage where the holy name and the form of the Lord become one, he must try to remember the transcendental qualities of the Lord Krishna. The holy name and the qualities of Krishna must merge through constant chanting. Next, He goes on to practice the remembrance of Krishna's pastimes. Generally, these will be pastimes that facilitate meditation on the holy name, you see? So again, it comes back to the pastimes are appropriate to our service. And specifically, if we're chanting, it may be appropriate to that chanting. The Lila Smarana or pastime meditations also gradually become one with the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. At this point, you know, there's a nice pastime about, who was it? One of Krishna's friends, was it Siddhama or someone, that when Krishna left, he went to Mathura, and one of the cowherd boys just went into the forest and sat there chanting Krishna's name. He just sat there and he just cried. He just chanted. Who was that? He chanted and he cried.
He's the one who became Mahaprabhu's first time as well. Is that the one?
Who is it? I'm not sure. I can't remember his name. He's one of his friends in Krishna Leela.
Abhyam Thakur is in Mahaprabhu's Leela.
Is it? Yeah, yeah.
Sudama.
Yeah, Sudama. Yeah, yeah.
He was in a cave or something, waiting for Krishna.
Yeah.
He was waiting for Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna to find him.
And he was just chanting. Krishna went to
Mathura,
right?
They were playing hide and seek and Krishna forgot about him when he just went away and he was still...
To Mathura.
In this past time, Krishna's Leela, he passed and he was waiting from that time onwards.
Right.
And he was waiting, chanting. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came.
Okay. All right. There's some parts I haven't heard.
Sridhama.
Eventually, Krishna came back. Right? And they embraced as Chaitanya. Okay. So there are different parts. Lord Nityananda came. Yeah. We may have a whole bunch of it. But the point is, that's a nice pastime, you know, chanting. He's chanting in separation from Krishna, he's waiting, you know. I'm not sure if it's the same one I heard, it might be a different one, but he was just... 4,500
years.
It was a long time, yeah, that's... Yeah, but pastimes appropriate to the service we're doing, you know. That was such a, you know, I remember when I was in Mwulumbah, someone told a pastime similar to that, may have been that, told a part of it, so I don't know the whole pastime. But one day, while I was chanting my rounds, I just meditated on that one pastime. It's so nice. So nice. But,
Excuse me.
Mm.
Sushi, what was the last time where something becomes one? The form and...
Yeah, so we're up to where basically each one is becoming, you know, one with the name itself. First the form is becoming one, then the qualities, and then the pastimes are becoming non-different from the name. We're chanting the name, we're understanding that it's they're one. At this point, so we're at the point where we're able to hear and chant, and as we do that, the pastimes, meditations become one with the holy name, form and qualities of the Lord. At this point, the first rays of Nama Rasa, or the transcendental mellows of the holy name, dawn on the horizon of perception. Progressively, so this is the, you know, Radharani's blessing, the Sudhisattva, the, you know, Ladini Shakti. Progressively, the devotee's practice of Lila Smarana intensifies to the point where he begins to meditate on the most confidential pastimes of the Lord known as the Ashtakalya Lila, or the Eightfold Pastimes of Radha Krishna. When his meditation reaches maturity, rasa rises in full glory. The Svarshiki process of worship, Ashtakalya Lila Smarana, is also known as Svarshiki worship in the stage of bhajan, Lord Krishna manifests himself according to the time and place of the pastime being meditated upon. Now the devotee realizes the full grace of his spiritual master, who, in his eternal spiritual form, Siddhasvarup, guides the disciple to a shakhi or gopi, who in turn introduces him into the pastimes of the Lord. Imagine you're chanting away and you're meditating on some pastimes, and in your meditation your spiritual master comes up to you in his spiritual form and takes you by the hand. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani, the daughter of King Brishabhanu, is the acme of excellence. She embodies the highest spiritual sentiment, Mahabhava. Serving Krishna under her leadership is the most sublime spiritual experience. The five main rasas or spiritual mellows are santra, neutrality, dasya, servitorship, sakya, friendship, vatsalya, parenthood, and sringara or madhurya, conjugal love. Of these, sringara is the highest. Devotees eligible to enter into the conjugal rasa are the intimate followers of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. In this rasa, Lord Krishna has many yutheshvaris or female group leaders, but everyone prefers Srimati Radharani. She is the direct manifestation of Lord Krishna's Swarup Shakti or spiritual potency, and all the other Braja Gopis are her expansions. Very interesting, isn't it? Because we have many leaders in ISKCON. But in the spiritual world, they also have many leaders, but they all prefer Radharani. And hence we have the Shishastika, and I was speaking about that. Actually, when I went to the farm on Radhastami and gave a talk on this, and I think I touched upon it here in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Radharani's mood is that Krishna's, this is the last verse of the Shishastikam, Krishna's happiness is her life and soul. And so her mood is that if she sees a devotee who can, you know, bring some variety and expand the happiness of Krishna, she becomes a servant of that devotee to facilitate that devotee increasing Krishna's happiness. That if this devotee, and then there's that pastime where the Radharani is saying that, you know, she was glorifying the woman who served the prostitute because she wanted the happiness of her husband. Like that. So she is saying, you know, that that prostitute didn't her chastity to her husband was this, that she did not consider her own happiness or position at all in the slightest degree. That she would, I will serve a prostitute for him to take pleasure. No trace of, you know, self-satisfaction. So Radharani is glorifying. That is, the true nature of love. And she will take a devotee and, that I will become your servant. Therefore Radharani, this is where we get this understanding. How do you see every devotee? How do you become the servant of every devotee? Because if I can see that someone can make Prabhupada's, movement a better movement, expands Prabhupada's movement, I will serve that devotee. Okay. Sometimes that service attitude means that when, with what happened with Prabhupada, when he saw there was no one who was actually going to increase the happiness of Bhaktisiddhanta, they were just going to fight. So then he became the servant to become the servant of all of his godbrothers, and everyone. He took the role of guru. See? So in other words, he remained his servant, but because no one was going to take the role of guru, someone had to take Krishna consciousness all over the world, and no one would do it. So as a servant, he took that role. But actually, he never departed from the role of being the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta or the servant of the members of the Gaudiya Math. It's just because no one else would do it, therefore he has to take that position. So sometimes we serve the other devotees, and if something has to be done, we may have to do it ourselves, But we never, you know, take a position of, well, then I'll be the leader. So, but the point I was making is that although we have many leaders in ISKCON, actually they're all supposed to be have allegiance to Radharani's mood. Because in the spiritual world, although they each have their yudhesvaris, but still everyone, you know, prefers Radharani. No one departs from Radharani's mood. For the sake of one leader in ISKCON, that we say, well, here, this is a leader, I'll follow this one. But if we do that in the sense that we depart from Radharani's mood, there's something incorrect about that. Because they don't do that in the spiritual world. If we depart from the service of Srila Prabhupada, and that's why they have the Prabhupada Founder Acharya course. You cannot, divert from Prabhupada's, satisfaction for what ISKCON should be done with ISKCON and for ISKCON for the sake of, well, you can follow this leader, you can follow that leader. You can't do that in ISKCON. See? Prabhupada represents Radharani. So, anyway. Now, so service to Lord Krishna in Braja is impossible without first taking shelter of the Braja gopis. One should enter Srimati Radharani's camp and serve directly under Lalita Devi. And we begin this process in a general way by serving Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the full manifestation. Radharani sends her, representative. That's Prabhupada. Everything we need to practice to do this with Radharani, we have to practice with Prabhupada. In ISKCON. And when Radharani sees, so I've sent Prabhupada, you're practicing everything with him and you're doing so nicely, then yes, you are now qualified to directly interact with me. I will ask, Prabhupada through your guru to, make that arrangement. You cannot jump over guru, you cannot jump over Vaishnava, you cannot jump over, anyone and just go directly to Radharani. Or, I'll get the Bhagavatam, I'll go straight to the 10th canto, I'll read all these books and I'll know Krishna Leela and I'll just think about them and, I'll just go straight to it. You can't do that. That's actually very offensive. So, in the discipline of rasa, sadhana practice and bhajan siddhi, or the perfection of worship, move into near proximity of one another. Thus the wide gap between them closes. In a short time, the servitor's spiritual form begins to take shape. By the mercy of the yudhesvari, he is quite easily overpowered by attraction to Lord Krishna. This strong spiritual attraction eliminates the gross and subtle material concept of his form that was caused by his turning away from Krishna. Thus the jiva gains entrance into Braja in his original spiritual form. Up to this point, the jiva's progress in spiritual life can be framed in words. Beyond it, his relationship with the Lord is indescribable. It can only be perceived by your grace, Lord Chaitanya. Sringara rasa is the most brilliant rasa because in the spiritual world, this rasa outshines every other relationship. By adopting the Boma Braja rasa or the Braja rasa available on this material plane in Vrindavan Dham, one becomes eligible to obtain the Sringara rasa. Sri Ramananda Raya said, as recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 8, 228-230, therefore one should accept the mood of the gopis in their service. In such a transcendental mood, one should always think of the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. After thinking of Sri Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from the material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There the devotees attain an opportunity to serve Sri Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. Unless one follows in the footsteps of the gopis, he cannot attain the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. If one is overcome by knowledge of the Lord's opulence, he cannot attain the Lord's lotus feet, even though he is engaged in devotional service, as Apra stated. So, you know, there are many things like that. We actually engage in devotional service, but doesn't mean that, you know, everyone's going to end up with the result. The devotee who is naturally inclined to cultivate the conjugal rasa must accept the superior guidance of a Braja Gopi. The jiva is not entitled to serve Krishna in conjugal mellow as a male. Pure devotional service to Lord Krishna at its best is possible only in the form of a Braja Gopi. One can become a Braja Gopi when 11 transcendental sentiments adorn the heart. They are sambandha, relationship, bayasa, age, nam, name, rupa, form, yutha pravesh, entrance into a group, vesha, attire, agya, permission, basasthana, place of residence, seva, service, parakasta, excellence, paladasi bhava, the mood of a kept maidservant of Krishna. The devotee may be in any worldly form, but he must cultivate these 11 sentiments and perform bhajan properly. So that is, you know, that is a proper understanding of Smarana. And you know, that is what we should be achieving. So, you know, sometimes we may have a sense, especially, you know, as this, you know, the college that they want to, you know, have here in Melbourne becomes manifest. You know, there's a tendency when you're going through a college, even, you know that, okay, I'll do this and I'll get Brahman. It means I can, you know, get initiated, get Brahman, do this, you know, so, you know, and gradually I'll be, you know, maybe able to teach or do this. So, you know, there are so many different goals like that. But actually from the very beginning of a devotee's life, as we see from the Upadeshamrita, you know, they get an understanding that really your goal in ISKCON is to somehow or another, you know, hear and chant about Krishna so offenselessly, so nicely, in the association of devotees, that within this life your spiritual form will be revealed to you and enter into the pastimes of Krishna. That should be our daily meditation. You know, other things are, you know, external, they're important. I'm not saying they're not important, but, you know, this is the real goal. If we forget that, then, you know, remembering this protects us from offences. You know, if you understand this, you think, well, for me to get that, the first step is just to hear and chant without being, you know, just get, you know, avoiding the offences. That's step number one. That's the beginning. If a person forgets this, we will take other goals. You know, even on the spiritual platform, those other goals will be, you know, based around profit, adoration, and distinction. And what happens, you know, here, you see the spiritual process, that what happens is that we're hearing and chanting and remembering, and we're doing that in connection with the Vaishnavas, in connection with the Guru, in connection with Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, Chaitanya, back to Krishna. And as we please them, by the spiritual process, the spiritual energy allows us to come to the next step. So there is a spiritual life from the very beginning, from the first day right to the end, is a process where we're trying to, you know, seek the mercy, you know, as a saying, you know, mercy is not strained, but falls like heavenly dew from the heavens. You know, it's you know, mercy is something that comes from the, you know, out of, you know, of their accord, not out. You know, it can't be forced. The devotee's practice is always like that. So it's very, very careful, and always seeing the reciprocation of the Lord, and you know, understanding how the spiritual process works. If that spiritual process is not understood, then we will have to employ the material process. There's only two. You know, there's the spiritual process. The material process is whereby a display of my own good qualities and abilities and prowess will allow me to progress in spiritual life. That's, you know, that's the material process. You know, by my prowess, by my, you know, spiritual potency, by my spiritual advancement, you know, by my austerities, by my great contributions, you know. You know, but you know, if there is if we lose the mercy of Srimad Radharani, you know, the Vaishnavas, then although we're doing that, it really, the results just don't come. You know, they're stalled. You know, they're withdrawn. You know, Bhakti Devi would just not make that arrangement. So, any questions or comments about that? So, you know, here, in one sense, although we're, you know, hearing about Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, it really gives you, you know, us the proper picture of how we, you know, what is our goal and how we attain that goal. And we also see that other things are really, you know, sort of material attempts or material qualifications to advance are just not listed. They, in fact, they become obstructions to that goal. They're not even, they're not helpful. They can become obstructions. Yeah. Any question? Yeah.
Is it based on this more specifically that maybe someone is better than me to do that service? We see some proper disciples, even sometimes they don't accept disciples, and then even if
sometimes some persons who are perhaps qualified to become a guru, but they don't see themselves as qualified, and you know, out of their humility, they don't feel that they should, you know, take that service. You know, they may not be able to. You know, they serve other devotees who are, you know, taking that service in one sense. They facilitate them. I mean, that's their humility. You know, personalities like Lokanath Swami, you know, Narottam Das, the core spiritual master. He, you know, he didn't feel he was qualified, you know, to accept a disciple. Even after Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said he must. I'll accept one then. You know, but even very reluctant. But, you know, that was his humility. So, you know, this is the interesting thing, as you say, with Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. That he's on the same platform as Lokanath Swami. Lokanath Swami, you know, of Vrindavan, associate of the Sikh, he's thinking, I'm not qualified to accept one disciple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared to me and ordered me, but I am not qualified, so I'm not like that. Prabhupada has the same humility. And he accepted many thousands. He never departed from the same platform of humility. And if someone said his humility was greater, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And why is that? Because actually, unless he did it, it just wasn't going to get done. So, you know, he took the position of guru and never departed from that platform of humility or service, that I have no qualification, but it has to be done because it's the order of the guru. So he took the position of guru. So sometimes, you know, sometimes this is what you have to, you know, say, you know, the devotees, you know, they want to follow Radharani and Prabhupada and have the proper Vaishnava qualities. So it's not that there are services to be done and we're thinking, oh, you do it, you're better than me. You know, you do it, you know. You have to, you know, the first thing is that you have to ensure that the service ends up being done in the best possible way. That's Krishna's happiness, that's Prabhupada's happiness, that's Guru's happiness, that's the Vaishnava. It actually has to be done properly. So in the name of humility, we don't go passing off a service if you think that someone's going to botch it up, or they're doing it with the wrong motive. You know, someone's doing, you know, yajnas, they have a whole different motive, you know. You know, someone's... you know, I remember in New Zealand, I was, you know, doing university programs, and I don't know for many years, but they asked me to, you know, head up the BBT. And to do that, I had to stop the university program I was doing. So I was making some devotees and, you know, distributing. I used to sell a plate for about $2, and I was making a big profit. I was cooking it myself and serving it myself. I did the same when I was on the farm. I was doing 5 universities when I was on the farm. I was selling the prasadam for one time I put it up to $2.50, and I was still making a profit, and I was cooking it myself and serving it. But anyway, in New Zealand, when I did the BBT, they said, oh, okay, you know, we'll get so-and-so to do the service. And I thought, he's my godbrother. I thought, oh, no, please don't. You know, so someone might have thought, well, you know, you're being proud or what have you. But, you know, this devotee was very chauvinistic. Like, you know, his attitude to women was off. His attitude to many things, he was just very, you know, condescending sort of a nature, and I thought, there's no way, especially in a university situation where all the women are basically, you know, practically liberated souls, and they think they are self-reliant, you throw basically a chauvinistic male in amongst all these liberated women or what have you. It just doesn't fit. And I begged them, and they said, oh no, you know, he'll do it, you know, you shouldn't complain, and you know, you shouldn't be offensive. You know, for weeks I just kept begging, please, don't let him do it. You know, so I was happy to cop that criticism, but there was no way I was going to let that person, you know, I mean, he was actually a good friend of mine. I said to him, I don't think you should do it, you know. He was actually a very good friend, but I just wasn't going to let him do it because, you know, that's, you know, the bottom thing is you want Prabhupada to feel, you know. It's like in India, one time a whole lot of guests come to a feast, and the person who cooked this terrible meal, you know, with second grade, you know, have you ever seen that conversation? There's a conversation, have you heard
it? Is it the one that says, good for God, dogs?
Yeah. Prabhupada just goes right off, you know, it's good, this food, you know, it's good for dogs. You know, he was so angry. How can you serve this up as, you know, it was prasadam. But still, you know, oh, no, look, it's prasadam, Prabhu. You know, try and see things on the spiritual platform. Yeah, we can't tell that to Prabhupada, you know, while his face is red and he's banging his fist on the desk. You know, all this spiritual hoo-ha, get the job done. You know, if you're cooking, cook something properly that tastes properly, that doesn't have too many chilies in it. I'm looking around. That kids can eat, you know. They do that at the Sunday feast here, right? You get little 3-year-old kids eating the feast, and it's got so much chili in it that it's impossible to eat. You know, so we get the general pub, though. Cook something that's the best. So, you know, that's humility, actually, to accept. You can criticize me, you can kick me, you can beat me, you can insult me, you can throw me out of the temple, but if I have a say in this, I'm going to say, don't cook food like that. This is what got me in trouble in 2012, because I was saying to Tim Marshall, you can't abuse people while you're serving them. You can't, all of you, stand in the background having arguments, eating, covered in prasadam, food all over your faces, right? Fighting amongst each other, swearing, talking about rock and roll, and abusing the guests as they come in, because as if there's some sort of, you know, interruption to your little private opium den. I didn't say it like that, but in a nice way, I said, well, you can't do that. See? And I wrote a letter to the, you know, management here. And then the persons went up there and complained about me, and then they said, yes, you know, he complains a lot. See? So I ended up copping a beating. But I would prefer to cop that beating than to have Prabhupada's prasadam served up, that you wouldn't serve that up to dogs. That's... I'd rather cop 100 beatings like that than have that sort of thing still going on in this temple. See? So the point is that, and Prabhupada was the same. He chastised, he did a Vyasa Puja and he chastised his god brothers. What are you doing? This is not what you've been asked to do, fighting and carrying on. You're supposed to be going out preaching. That's humility. And then because no one was going to do it, he had to step up and do it himself. And in doing that, he maintained the same humility as Lokanath Goswami, who wouldn't accept one disciple. There was no difference. Because there was no one else to do it. You know, ordinarily, he was trying to, you know, he would have facilitated anyone. Prabhupada would have facilitated any devotee to you know, do that. I'm not qualified. You know, if someone can help me, if I can assist someone, if the Gaudiya Mat can come and I'll just do something. Nothing. So therefore, on the platform, on that platform, one sometimes has to become the guru, or one sometimes becomes the leader, like that. And on the same platform, sometimes one doesn't, because one feels that no, this is going on nicely by so many people, and there's no need for me to do something, because everyone is like that. So you know, it's a difficult. There's a lot of without understanding, you know, properly the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a lot of devotees really don't know how to interact. You know, I hear a lot of things where devotees are having a discussion. There's obviously a problem about some particular service. The end result is very simple, that the best service should be done to get the best result. That will please. And the devotees work together to facilitate that. That's it. End of the story. And that means that sometimes one becomes a leader and one becomes, you know, follows their orders, and then sometimes they reverse that and sometimes they mix it up a bit. Whatever works to get that done, do it. And this is Jayananda. He was a temple president, and he used to prefer to drive the Sankirtan devotees out in the van and take them and look after them during the day, you know, so that they would do this, you know. So he had that same mood. And that's why Prabhupada so much, you know, loved him, because it's the same mood as Radharani. It's the mood that Prabhupada had, like that. Not that, you know, we somehow, for any other purpose, the service to Sri Guru Gauranga is somehow neglected. If we have any other purpose to fulfill that the service to Sri Guru and Gauranga is neglected, then that's actually the miss. And if someone justifies that from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it's out of context. So it's actually, it seems difficult, but it's very easy. That basically whatever facilitates the service being done in the best possible way by those most qualified to do it, and the devotees cooperate in that way, then that is the result we want. And the philosophy supports that. If someone quotes the philosophy that we ended up with a hodgepodge service and they're quoting, oh, Prasadam's transcendental Prabhu, you can eat it off the floor, so here, here's your whack there, then that's nonsense. You know, you can quote that because, you know, Ratha Yatra, they throw it. You know, it says in the scriptures, right, you can eat Prasadam off the ground. So someone can quote, well, you can eat it off the ground. So here you go, there's yours over in the corner. It's in the Bhagavatam, Prabhu. Yeah, and I've given the example of the Abhishekhs. This is, you know, Abhishekhs, you know, sometimes, next time we do an Abhishek, sometimes you can watch, but it's pandemonium, you know. But, you know, nowadays, you know, the good thing is, Bhakti Manja says to me, he says, you know, just pick a few good people and, you know, just others, you know, I mean, everyone else comes anyway, but, you know, as far as possible, the one of the main things is actually, you know, that Radha and Krishna are there, they actually have to have a sort of a, you know, a transcendental bathing without too many elbows, you know, fingers in the eye and, you know, bananas on the head and so many different things, you know. And you know, people just, you know, Prabhu, can I do a bit of service? Why did you do that? Serving. But yes, you know, it's a very good point that you see it a lot in the name. Oh, can I do some service? You know, I told that story about the, one of the, I forget who he was, one of the Indian congregation here, and he said, oh, Prabhu, you know, you do some, you know, nice preaching. Can I come with you? I said, yeah, jump in the car. So I went out and I did this home program, and a very wealthy, you know, family. And, you know, so, you know, they're typical. They're young. The men are handsome. The women are handsome. They've got the big mansion, you know, televisions and so many things. So I walked in there. He's like, oh, my, like that. So I'm sort of still bringing my stuff in. So he's come to help me, and I'm sort of, while I'm bringing in, he's sort of raced in to organise them. So, you know, the name is serving Krishna. So I get in there and he's already telling the person he's got to move his TV. This is like, this TV's bigger than that painting, you know, it's got all the wiring, everything like that. We're going to do our yagya here, you can't have the TV, you're going to have to move the TV up to the back room. And I said, oh, no, that's okay, that's all right. You know, you leave your TV there, I'm okay. So then, you know, I'm still just literally trying to put some things down, and he and the lady comes up to him and says, oh, would you like a glass of water? No, I'll wait till I get back to the temple. So, okay, let's insult everyone while we're here. Not even going to drink their water. What are the, you know? And he said to me, Ganga, you know, can I do some service? Can I do some, you know, what can I do? I said, you've got a very important service for you. I said, here's the Gita. I want you to sit there. I want you to recite, very auspicious, this whole chapter. Just quietly to yourself in that corner. All right? So he sat there and read the Gita. You know. But you get a lot of that, you know, and devotees, you know, they think, oh, so, you know, everyone wants to help and do service. So, yeah, okay, let's, oh, hands on, hands in there, somewhere in there, Krishna's in there, but don't poke him in the eye. Yeah. Shravan Kirtan of Smaram. Amazing what you can find, Prabhupada's people. It's all right. We'll leave it there. Any other questions? Just we got 1 minute. Thank you, sir.
When the devotees are doing the service, you mentioned that they have to cooperate and see the best service that they can give, rather than the own personal thing.
Yeah.
How do we understand the competition between Radharani and Chandravati? Both of them were had
groups
and competing.
Yeah. Well, because Radharani explains that in the Shishastikam. In the Shishastikam, you know, there are the those verses in the 8th verse of the Shishastikam. The translations are there from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the purports. And in those purports, it does describe. Can you get that? Can you look that up? Let's see if I've got it somewhere. Maybe I might find it. Let's see. Yes, find it first. It's a race. It's a race. See, it touches Krishna's lotus feet first. Oh, he's going for it. You got it?
Yeah.
Yes. I know the verse. I'm just looking for the... Yeah. Okay. Now, I've got it, I think. Okay. Here we go. Now, okay. Asli Shaba Paradhamanas Mamadash and Amamadam Tikarotaba Tata Tata Babidu to Lampado Mapananatas to save an upper heart. Now, so in this verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 20, text number 48 and 52. Here is the purport. I am a maidservant. This is what Radharani is thinking, Chaitanya, and therefore what we think. I am a maidservant of the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me and make me feel oneness with him, or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, it is he who is the Lord of my life. My dear friend, just hear the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions. Whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled mind and body by me. So he gives up the company of Chandravali. Thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or... since after all he is very cunning, obstinate, debauchee with a propensity to cheat, he takes the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them, Chandravali, in front of me to give distress to my mind. Nevertheless, he is still the Lord of my life. I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness. Now, further on in the purport to one's a little, Radharani says this. Oh, this is Chaitanya Anchalila 20, verses 53 to 55. If Krishna, attracted by the beauty of some other woman, wants to enjoy with her but is unhappy because he cannot get her, I fall down at her feet, catch her hand, and bring her to Krishna to engage her for his happiness. When a beloved gopi shows symptoms of anger toward Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied. Indeed, he is extremely pleased when chastised by such a gopi. She shows her pride suitably, and Krishna enjoys that attitude. Krishna then gives up her pride. Then she gives up her pride with a little endeavor. Why does a woman continue to live who knows that Krishna's heart is unhappy, but who still shows her deep anger toward him? She is interested in her own happiness. I condemn such a woman to be struck on the head with a thunderbolt, for we simply want the happiness of Krishna. So, as increasing the mellows of love, sometimes that mood of separation and meeting is there, and therefore one devotee, one gopi, is experiencing Krishna's meeting, and another gopi is feeling the separation. And that separation can sometimes manifest, some anger. And that anger, Krishna becomes, it's a manifestation of the gopi's love. But, it's a particular mood of love. It's a particular flavor of love. But Krishna enjoys that, of course. Krishna's God. And here is someone, she doesn't care whether he's God, the President of the United States, or anything. What she cares about is that her love for him is the only reality. It is above all things. So much that she can become angry at Krishna if in any way that love is minimized or, somehow jeopardized. So Krishna appreciates how much value, the gopi is putting on her love. Oh, I will become angry at you. Don't you trample my love. It is strong. Ooh, how much do you love? So he's enjoying the strength. And the flavor, it's a flavor of love. But Radharani is saying, but then, Krishna becomes happy, but the gopi, as soon as they understand, well, that wouldn't be for Krishna, they just give up that anger. Gone. You see? So we shouldn't think that Chandravali and Radharani are somehow selfishly just getting angry and, Krishna's thinking, oh, God, I wish you'd get over it, Like, come on, let me have a little bit of time with Chandravali, get over yourself. They never, they accept anger for Krishna's pleasure and they give it up immediately for Krishna's pleasure, see? So it's not like how we experience. Yeah? Oh, thank you. Okay, John. Yeah? Okay. Thank you. Let's leave it there. Hare Krishna. We haven't even got to the, why do we get to the 10th canto? We're just warming up.